There is a word in the Old Testament pronounced divination. Divination. And all it means is attempting to find out the future in ways other than God's word. Now, there was a type of divination in the ancient world called heptoscopy. Heptoscopy. And that was the ancient practice of looking at the liver of an animal to determine future events. It's probably needless to say, but divination and all its forms were forbidden by God. He calls it an abomination in Deuteronomy. Now, we chuckle and maybe even cringe at the idea of looking at an animal liver to see what's going to happen next. What foolish people. How dumb can you get? Thinking the organ of an animal is going to tell you God's will? Really? Heptoscopy sounds absurd, and it is. Looking at flesh to determine God's plan. But when I phrase it that way, it sounds a little different, doesn't it? Looking at an animal organ to hear God's voice, that's laughable. But when I take out the word organ and I insert the word flesh, it sounds a little different because the word flesh entails not just animals, but also people. And so when I say the ancients consulted animal livers to determine God's purpose and plan, we wag our heads in disgust and mockery. But when I say people find God's purpose and plan in other people, other flesh, even themselves. Now I hope you're not laughing, because that's a problem that even Christians wrestle with. The ancients and modern man have some things in common. One being, we both look for God in places where he never promised to be found. From animal organs, other people, to ourselves, we are tempted to flee God and look for consolation and comfort apart from his sure and certain word. Take the emotions, for example. Now, we're sensual beings and we possess powerful feelings. And most certainly God made us to feel and to sense. In the Small Catechism, Luther is quick to point out, God gives us our senses, our reason, and he takes care of these things. But there's a danger. There is a danger when you begin to search for God in these things. Nowhere does Scripture tell you to trust a feeling or an emotion to determine what God has in store for you. The feeling of anger is very powerful, isn't it? And it can drive you to act in ways that you know you shouldn't. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. Because you may end up doing something that you regret for a long, long time. The feeling of fear can rob you of the joy and the confidence you have by being God's child in Christ. Worry? Anxiety? When these feelings swell up inside us, the temptation is to listen to them and think, well, you know, maybe God's not in control. Maybe my anxiety is right. And God isn't as powerful as Scripture says he is. Maybe my fear is correct and it's true. God's not going to provide for me this time. Satan. Satan is the father of lies. And from the beginning, he has worked to get God's people to turn from God's word and listen to a different word, a lie, with the intent of killing you. Satan wants to pillage and destroy God's church, and he will tell you lie after lie after lie after lie to get you to believe in what he says while rejecting the truth. Genesis. Did God really say, says the serpent? These words sunk into the ears of Eve. and they were powerful. So powerful, she believed them. And the result was death. To dust you have come, to dust you shall return. The father of lies, Christian, wants you to die. He wants you to stop hearing preaching, put down your Bibles, stop receiving the sacraments, and listen to yourself. Listen to what your heart tells you. Rely on your feelings, because in the pride of our sin, we always think we're right. We always think we're right, God is wrong, and so we end up buying into a feeling or an emotion that says something like, God cannot conquer death. Or we listen to that feeling on Sunday morning after a night out on the town that says, you know what, I feel like finding Jesus in my bed. I don't need to come to church, our reason tells us. God is everywhere. I don't need to tithe. Someone else will do it. I don't feel like doing a devotion. I don't feel like reading Holy Scripture. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like being generous and loving and kind. I don't feel like forgiving that pain in the neck neighbor, so I'm not going to do it. Christians struggle with these feelings. Christians battle these feelings. The baptized believer has the Holy Spirit. You better believe it. The baptized believer also has sinful flesh, and the two make for a great battle. And we walk that fine line between trusting in God's mercy and gratifying, feeding the desires of the flesh. To be Christian, to be a Christian is to be saint and sinner. It means desiring God's love, wanting to do good works, listening to His word, while at the same time, we flirt with evil, and we turn inwardly, listening to our corrupted flesh to determine what we're going to do next, whether that's holding on to our money because it makes us feel secure, or lashing out at a loved one in a profanity-laced tirade because we feel angry. In the midst of these sins that we wrestle with, we need a word, and not just any word, but the word of God. We need the word of God who calls the fleeting sinner forgiven, holy, beloved, all for the sake of Christ alone. In the gospel lesson today, John says something that we've heard many, many times. Many, many times. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We've heard that. Yet we cannot hear it enough. It is precisely because of Satan and the temptation to always look somewhere else that we need God to say, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. The father of lies says, behold, a liver. Behold, money. Behold, a new car. Behold, yourself. God is very clear. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. John the Baptist does not say, behold yourself. No, he points the people to Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Because his flesh does something that no other flesh can do. And that is his flesh provides the atonement once and for all of your sins. And this chaotic, corrupted, disorderly world. In a world, friends, filled with sins and sinners, we need to hear the voice of God, His word that says unto you, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away your sins. Now, what does that mean exactly? Because I just got done saying how we still wrestle with sins, even as mature, baptized believers. The struggle with temptation is always there. Behold the Christ. Your Savior, who takes away your sin. People, when something is taken from you, it is no longer yours. When a debt is taken from you, it no longer belongs to you. Christ takes away your sin. That is the comfort. That is the real jubilation that every Christian has. Salvation has happened. God has done it freely, without merit, without boasting. He has done it for you out of His love, His grace, your debt towards God that began accumulating. When our father and of lies deceived our first parents, the debt of your sin, Christian, has been taken and paid. Christ has done it. The wages of sin that is death, that death, that wrath that sin deserves has been taken from you by the Lamb of God. The punishment sin deserves has been taken from you. Christ has done it. Christ has taken your sin. He took those sins in his body, and he goes to the cross, and there he is the sacrificial lamb. He is the sacrificial lamb that pours out his flesh, his blood. Sin demands death. It demands blood, and Jesus gives it. He gives all of it at the cross for you to make you holy, pure, and declared innocent in the eyes of God. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Christ, your Savior, by God's rich, abundant grace through faith. Because just like the ancients, who went so far as to look at an animal liver to determine what God was going to do in the future, your flesh will tempt you. Your sin will tempt you to look away from God and look somewhere else. Satan will say to you, "Behold yourself." Friends, you will not find salvation in your flesh, but you find it and you have it in Christ and in Christ alone. Your Savior, who speaks to you in his holy word, saying he will never leave you, he will never abandon you. He even calls you his child. And how much does he love you? Enough to die to make you his own. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. He pays for your sin. They no longer belong to you. They belong to him. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.